This is a Wait Don't Do It podcast with your girl Nunu Paris and Raffy. Make sure to join us monthly at El Rey for Reggaeton Brunch. You can follow at Reggaeton Brunch DC for more details. We'll see you there, baby sotas. Mwah.
Hello, everyone. Oh, my God. It's me, your girl, Raffy.
It's good to see me, isn't it?
You were supposed to say, it's your boy, Nunu.
Oh, fellow Aussians, welcome to this podcast.
I hope you're watching on the YouTube video. Go onto our YouTube and watch our full episodes, video episodes of our podcast, because then you'll be graced with witnessing Ashley Tisdale Nunu.
They're going to revive High School Musical, and I'm going to play Sharpay this time, guys.
If you want to see someone playing Sharpay Evans and Glenda the Good Witch and Jennifer Amanda Coolidge. Bynes and Easy A, you're in for a treat for this week's virtual episode. Oh my gosh, so good to be back, right, Nunu?
I love spending time. That's what I really been into this season, spending quality time with all my favorite people, and that happens to include you today.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say, I haven't seen you before today, so clearly I'm not part of that equation. We've had a couple, you know, distractions. Life is really happening for you, for us right now. And you know, when it comes like this, you just gotta drop your podcast.
With that being said, welcome everyone to our podcast, where we remind our listeners what not to do. And this time we are talking about, surprisingly, bad drivers, bad habits, and most importantly, these unexpected detours in life right now. It is Mercury retrograde. It was just in Sagittarius. Now it's in Scorpio. Shit has been wild. Has been wild for you, Raffy?
Absolutely. I mean, personally, life is crazy. Professionally, life is crazy. There's just a lot going on right now. And it doesn't even feel like you can focus on life or professional stuff when also you see the world burning and this just you becoming so disconnected from what this country is every time you turn on the TV. But there's just also, I just found out some really sad news today. I opened my phone. And as you know, I'm an avid watcher of Real Housewives of Potomac. I just had to experience Wendy getting Jennifer Shawed. But now my girl, Mia Thornton, who I loved her first two seasons, and I know Nunu doesn't know who this is, but she just got arrested for larceny. 11,000.
I think that we in the DMV are not as criminal as the Housewives of Potomac is making us out to be. Between drunk Huger, fraud Wendy, and now theft Mia.
I mean, literally every crime besides, thank God, murder right now has been committed on the Real Housewives of Potomac.
I don't know what's in the water as the Potomac River. I don't know if it's Andy. I don't know if y'all can blame Andy anymore because the girls are just getting arrested. For what?
I feel like Andy's the one on the phone with the police. Like, yeah, I just heard a white woman scream and her name is Mia Thornton. You should go check in on her and her couch because this is what she's being accused of. I honestly, and clap if this could happen to you because apparently this could get you in jail. So she moved to Atlanta recently and
red flag number one.
Which again, they do say that Atlanta has a lot of fraud going on, but that would mean that in Charlotte and DC, that would soon follow. And it makes sense. And just to touch on the point, yeah, you know, I do believe these crimes are covering a lot of what goes on in DC because drunk driving is everywhere right now. Did you see that a light pole just got knocked over? Someone ran into a light pole in Logan Circle. Like, where? That's right down the street from me. What if I was walking home and I got hit by a car because this car.
Oh, God. Like, you know, Mercury retrograde does affect travel, so I guess.
Anyways, so Mia moved to Atlanta and she moved into a condo. She lives in that condo for a short period of time and then she moves out. She moves out overnight. And while she moved overnight, she took $5,000 couch, a couple pieces of furniture with her that were belonged to the owner of the condo, and she stole the TV. And she stole the TV. And she took the TV with her.
And she did that.
That's stealing, Joe.
What crime would you commit on Housewives? I feel like
I'm not gonna speak to that because I'm not manifesting anything for myself. Thank you
very much. If you're a housewife, you would have
a safe crime. Answer for me would be like a fight. Like someone would call the police on me for hitting them. If the guy who laid me off, if that happened on camera and I was on reality TV and I knew I was going to get a check if I hit this person, I would have totally decked him right there. They would have, like, you know, given me like 2 days off the air. But yeah, I wouldn't go anywhere after that. So
yeah, either. Yeah, you could beat assault battery charge, I'm sure.
No, I don't want to go to jail. I don't want to go to jail. I do not. I want to pay a fine the best. I could never handle, like, no, I'm that's what I'm saying. I can't lie either. I'm a terrible liar. Recently, I had to tell my parents that
you were gay. Oh my god! Right. How did they react? Gay.
Oh my god! My mom cried the first time I told her. She like bawled her eyes out. But I wasn't gonna tell them. I was gonna keep it from them because I didn't want to stress them out. But then I just kept calling, and I was like, "Oh, I have nothing to talk about besides this, so I have to tell you." So I'm just a really bad liar. You can read my face when I'm lying or when I'm being disingenuous.
You know, my relationship with lying is always
there.
Flirtatious.
You flirt with lies. Okay, explain flirting with lies to the listeners. No.
You know, flirt with lies, you know, it's like you flirt with anyone. You kind of talk, you engage a little bit, then you back off. You do a little bit, then you back off. It's like a game.
Are you lying or flirting? Yes. Do you lie when you flirt?
Yeah, how
as a girl, and because I know you don't lie as a man. Your body tells everything I need to know when you flirt. I've seen you flirt with men.
I love lying. It's so fun. It's the most fun a girl can have without taking her clothes off.
Tell me a lie you told today.
I told within the last 24 hours. I made a fisting joke at a drag queen Christmas, and then a lady came up to me and said, "Okay, did you say Philistine?" I said, "Yeah, duh."
Philistine? Yeah. What's Philistine?
Yeah, like being like a Philistine. Person that's considered uncultured.
Oh, well. I would say that's the opposite of someone who confessed.
So, whenever people ask me, I just say, yeah. They're like, oh, you're doing this? Like, oh, or one woman came up to me and was like, oh my God, this isn't, you've been here before, I'm sure. Like, is it going to be really fun? And I was like, oh yeah, the show's great. I never been, I don't know, bitch, I don't know. Said whatever to get you away from me. I love lying.
That's not really lying. That's just like anxiety.
Not anxiety. I just make up things.
No, just engage with people. You're such a good people person.
Through lying, I make people believe I'm a good people person.
Aren't you tired? That must be exhausting. Is it? Or are you? Or as soon as they request something from you, you just lie and then get out of it? Like, is it that easy?
I think my lies are all based in truth. So I think that's the biggest key to keeping your lies up. Like, if you just make sure it like is always plausible.
You add sauce to. Oh, yeah. Why am I acting like I have not helped you through lies before? Yeah, you lie a lot.
It's whatever.
People have died in your lies. Some might say. Some people have died in your lies.
I think if someone dies in my life, you can be able to use that for something, right? Like, why did they die for? I feel like you have to be able to honor them some way. You know how, like, when you kill an animal, you're supposed to like use all the parts and stuff. Like, that's how I feel about these. Like, girl, if my auntie died, then I am sad, and I should be able to use that sadness for whatever I want as the affected party.
Yeah, I think the most I've lied is just during work, if I need to, and I don't lie often. I just lie if I need to.
One of the biggest lies Rafi tells is that he can drive.
I'm not going to comment on my driving because I don't drive for a reason. I hate driving. But I'm a much better driver now than I've ever been because now I'm cognizant of passenger driving. So like stopping so you're not in the walking lane, stopping and not being like in the bike lane. Being just a lot more because I'm a pedestrian first kind of bitch now. Like pedestrians have the right of way for a fucking reason. And drivers are such fucking babies. Drivers are such babies. Stop honking the horn for no fucking reason. Like, someone is literally... God,
you couldn't be where, like, I'm from. When I was in New York, I know, Maryland. Honking.
I know, Maryland, girl. Like, y'all are just driving across the interstates. It's crazy out there. And so I noticed I would be a much better driver around than you are now, for sure. You just be zooming. Also, let's unpack this. Nunu doesn't use cruise control. Why don't you use cruise control? That's insane to me.
I
cannot drive for long distances without cruise control.
That's a stamina issue, and that's something you should address with your doctor. I think that cruise control is, you know, lazy. It's filled with decadent capitalism.
It's giving your ankle and calf a break, and just like you're getting to just like you focus more on the road.
My family didn't believe in cruise control. My family did not believe in cruise control. Despite having it, so they felt that, you know, it's important to always be in control while driving, and you never could trust it. And
you don't believe in cruise control, but you believe in God. Explain that, Nudu.
Wow.
That is insane. Explain that.
You know, I had to recently do a dinner with a doctor, and it's so funny to it.
Wait, pick up that name you just dropped.
So I was at a dinner with a doctor, and he goes, "Oh, have y'all everyone gotten their flu shots?" And I said, "No, never had one."
And then he backed away from the table.
Yeah, he looked mortified.
Yeah, he should. Don't be honest about these. That's when you should lie. That's when you should lie.
No, I like just like.
He looked mortified
whilst traveling.
You told a father-in-law figure that you're an anti-vaxxer.
I'm not anti-vaxxer. My family doesn't believe it. You know, I think you get older, you like unpacking a lot of values that, you know, you bring here for your family. And so,
am I finding
you know,
out that you're an anti-vaxxer right now?
I'm not an anti-vaxxer. I definitely think the flu shot is
necessary. I see why you get the stomach flu every year. Yeah. Every year.
I haven't been sick in years. I don't know. Do I believe in getting the flu shot for myself? I don't not believe in it. I'm just not going to do it. Does that make sense? Honey.
So you're an anti-vaxxer when it comes to flu shots. You don't
feel like
you don't.
I don't get. I've been alive for a couple decades.
You're choosing to risk getting the worst livable disease where you probably won't die. But Jesus Christ, having the flu sucks. You're willing to get that?
Because I've had the flu maybe at maximum twice.
I've had it twice, and it's literally sadistic.
At maximum twice, maybe once in 3 decades, and I don't remember anything being too terrible. You just don't eat for like 3-4 days.
Well, okay. You know, there's other things you can do to achieve besides.
I don't get the flu, but again, I may not get a flu shot, but I would do again, like I said, an IV drip. Like I would love a health and wellness.
Yeah, Nunu has good genes.
am I giving? What do you think I'm giving, MAGA?
MAGA Barbie. You don't believe in
MAGA Barbie.
Do we want to unpack MAGA Barbie right now? It's cunty. It's definitely giving cunty blonde. Like, you look like Nikki Hilton, but like we all know who they voted for. So
I think being from the South, you know, we get a bad rap for being these conservative people. We're just liberal people. You know, right now our home state is being invaded by ICE agents and Border Patrol, as I was visiting last night. So that was very intense. And there was already a protest in the Capitol. And, you know, some people in Charlotte have already been met with guns. So I'm happy that, you know, North Carolinians are standing up for what's right and, you know, holding their ground. You know what I mean? I think the South is a lot different than, you know, some of these cities. You know, everyone got a gun in North Carolina. You feel me?
I mean, first of all, again, would I own a gun? Yeah. I would. If I had the option
right
now.
I would, but like, I don't
need
you. Just
like you said, if I had the option to not get a vaccine and I would have, right now, if I had the proper training, I would choose to take the training to be able to shoot a gun properly so I can fuck a bitch up if they tried to kill me.
Speaking of the recession indicators, I think that, with the government shutdown, you guys, it definitely is a blow. And then as things are opening up, I really, and maybe it's from my perspective, I just don't feel like we've, or the news outlets has focused enough on the effects it's had in the DMV. Like, it's obviously most populated here, so like our economy, our hospitality, all that has been like affected drastically.
I completely agree. I definitely agree that you don't really see the news talking about, like, mainstream media talking about how this is affecting us as Washingtonians, as like the epicenter of what government work is. During the shutdown, we didn't really get these huge press. You didn't notice these big moments for us on the press, celebrities stepping up for us and being like, you know what? This is what's happening in DC right now. Let's talk about what's probably happening to these people. And we not only did that, we had the ICE agents coming through. We have the National Guard here. All these indicators of don't go out. It's not safe to go out. And when you add all that to nightlife, an expendable luxury, honestly, in DC, like a night out in DC is a luxury.
Yeah.
Those things are immediately wiped out. Like right now, I love what I do, DJing, MCing, but it's a rough time to be doing it. We are, you know, it's been hard to get people through the door for our brunches. We've been getting lucky because of just natural flow, natural word of mouth, but it's been in the level of inconsistency has never been like this. And I haven't been confident about an event since Pride, right before all this stuff was happening. So it's very unfortunate that like this is taking a toll on our natural economy and these bars are forced to close.
Yeah, I don't like what happens when all this chaos, you know, affects the places that, or, you know, where we escape to, you know, our
because
spaces.
I'm not thinking about the bar owners. No shade to y'all's bar owners. I'm thinking about the employees. I'm thinking about the contractors. I, as someone who was laid off in the hospitality industry, we don't get the severances like that. We don't get, no matter if you were an employee or not, you're not going to, you'll be lucky to get that last check. And then when it comes down to 1099ers, when it comes down to perform labor, do they get paid for those competitions they do?
I think that I just want to have a conversation about DC nightlife and gay bars and how crazy it is, y'all. I think that this U Street corridor battle is insane. I think in this last few weeks of retrograde, we've had bars slander other bars, threaten other bars, open up bars.
Did you figure out what that was about? Okay, did we talk about what that all was about?
It's crazy, y'all. So within the span of the last few weeks, if y'all don't know, you know, U Street is already, you know, very popular with different bars, especially gay bars. But the only places people are really going, and it's no shade to no one else, is Nelly's and Kiki in that U Street area. So we already had Dirty Goose close. You got Shakers. They just announced their closing. I don't know where Revolt is. No shade to Revolt. I just don't know where it is. It's new. It's still around, right?
I've been there and I still don't know where it is. And that's no shade.
And we
need to talk
Bonker
about that drama, though. I just literally found out what that drama was about. And do you know what that drama was about?
I heard that some bars are calling other, you know, either the folks on them, specters, people on people, other bars or something to mess up with people's bag. And then that was just like some retaliation. But I don't get why in a time, in a year, in a moment where we are just being attacked, like they just quite literally said we could still be merry, even though it's not a victory. But they just, you know what I mean? Like, why are we attacking each other? I'm just so confused.
My biggest concern was the owner of Revolt, who is already apparently a straight man. That's where allegedly.
That's not allegedly. That's what the post person posted. I've seen it for myself, and the person who's running it, though, is a gay man, but the person who, you know, and on the deed, is a straight man. I'll show you.
So, it's a straight art, and you could just tell by the vibe. I mean, the branding has been very Canva. I reached out to them. I was like, hey, would love to work with y'all. Let me know if you're down. Have not heard back. And I was like, but that was right before the meltdown. I messaged them right before the meltdown. So you mean to tell me, I reached out to you as a DJ to be like, hey, I want to work with y'all. And instead of focusing on business, apparently it was the general manager or the owner of the location was doing the social media for this. And they were the one that, was like, receipts, we got them. And apparently they only got a refund, bitch, because there was no receipts.
What did it get?
There was the receipt machine was out. That orange line that you get when that run under the roll, the girls that get it, the cashiers know what that is. It was to the end. So it was such a disappointment because these bars should be working together. They should be collaborating.
But I also don't know why we all need to be on the same road.
I mean, I think that gay bars should be close to each other because we just, as gay people, we normally just bar hop.
Okay, let me rephrase. Why are the same gay bars on the same row? Since we're not, you know, changing our clientele, it's still the same.
That's the thing.
White cis man. You know, it'd be different if it was like, okay, that circuit bar, then the, you know, thing for the lesbians, and then the thing for, you know, everyone, and the things for the genderqueer nonconforming. You know, yeah, that'd be fine, but it's like the exact same bar.
The owners are white, so then they're gonna gear themselves to a specific crowd, period. That's just what I've seen. That's just like what I've witnessed. I think that if certain bars kind of try their best to diversify their crowds, but I, at the end of the day, the general consensus is if it fits for Sean and Ben, then it's going to work for everyone else. And like I said, I have nothing against Shakers. I had some good nights at Shakers. I had some bad nights at Shakers, that just like every other bar. But I just feel like, you know, when you're replaceable, you're going to get replaced. And these bars are survival of the fittest.
Yeah, the business plans are not in the room.
The business plans are not in the room. You wanted a dance space, but the stage was massive. You didn't have seating, and you looked like a restaurant with no food. So there was a lot of things that just didn't work for that. I was almost called it a restaurant. There was so many. That space was great, but the fact that it was all quote unquote seating, especially that second room, could have been a cool outside dance kind of space.
Yeah, that could have been true.
That was just a seating. I think the seating was unfollowed through. The patio was underdeveloped, and there was nothing that was gearing itself. It focused on bringing talent in versus making itself a space.
Right, it has to be a balance of both, and I think that's true for any business plan.
I think that's what Trade does the best, is the fact that they are a bar where you feel like you can walk in there, and I sometimes feel so comfortable, and I'm like, I feel like I'm at home here. It's a home bar. That's the definition of a home bar.
I think it's a community at Trade. I think they have events that are, you know, whether they're well attended or not, I think they're willing to try things, which is really important, and to allow different communities that space, because that's what it is. And obviously, they had the amazing forethought to expand and open up so many different vibes also within a restaurant. I mean, within a space, which is also super important. Like, each room feels different. Each vibe gears itself to a different, you know, crowd. And that's also important. So with Shakers, you know, closing has only been around, 2-3 years. It was, what was that supposed to be? Wasn't that supposed to be the replacement for Dirty Goose, right?
Again, that's all a family. All those people. That's why. And apparently Kiki's taking over for Shakers. And I'm like, okay, so what difference?
But we don't know that it's going to remain under LGBT management once, you know, it gets bought out by Political Patties Part 2.
People are like, oh, LGBT management. I know that owner. I'm not a fan of that Kiki owner. We had a actual tiff at one point. And I know the kind of person that person is. So I don't really think that they're going to think, hey, okay, I already have Kiki. Dirty Goose was pretty much almost like Kiki. Shakers was kind of almost like they were kind of interchangeable. He's just gonna put in. It's gonna be an extension of Kiki because again, some of these places don't have that it factor. They don't have that.
My disappointment.
You want to talk about the best bars in DC right now? Is the Trades? I'm really enjoying Spark Social Club or Social House, but Larry's Lounge. That's a loyal favorite. Larry's has been here forever, and they have a loyal crowd. Why? Because it has completely focused on keeping the drinks cheap and keeping that vibe very minimalistic. Not every bar has to be everything. And some of these bars are having drag shows and it don't make sense for their spacing.
Right. I definitely hate, even as a drag artist, like I just hate the idea that, because I mean, now that we've been in it a few years, you watch it evolve, things change, clubs open, closed, da 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 da. And drag becomes like a novelty, but then people are like, we're gonna have a drag show. I'm like, why does everything need to be a drag show? Is that, you know, what the audience is asking for? There's spaces where people can go see drag shows. Like, you don't have to put a drag show every single place in the city just because you're an ally. You know what I mean?
Like, I do think that drag brings clientele, but I think that it's a lot of the time it's not thought of as, I think a lot of people like our reggaeton brunch because it's a party and it's a drag show. And the drag show is fit into the event. It's not like the event. And I think that you have to have that cross collaboration between the talent and the nightclub. I think the nightclub has to really kind of think of how can we make the show better. You know, a bar that does that really well is JR's. They think about the lighting. They think about the sound. They think about the aesthetic, the staging. I've been very impressed with how they handle their shows over there. It's very thought through. And Trade has that similar vibe for their drag shows. So I think that some bar, but also, like I said, some bars just don't have the layout. I love JR's.
I agree, but you're missing. You're also mentioning specific places where drag artists are producing the shows and have a heavy hand, right? In it, like JR's and Trade, they have that. They're allowed that creative freedom. I think a lot of businesses and spaces, because they don't know a lot about drag, they just want the idea of it. They just feel like, I'll just open up a space and it'll work out without really thinking about what it means.
Well, I think when you pull the veil from some of these gay bars, they're run by mean girls. And, they keep a certain, thought, and they put these white gays in charge of talent. And I think that can either, it always ends up like how, certain bars. Again, I just think that people are not thinking about, or not, how do I say this without being, I just think that there needs to be more jack of all trades in the nightlife scene. I think that you can't, a lot of these bars are just booking bitches and they use AI for their flyers. Because it's just very not thought through.
Right. I mean, and I think that actually mirrors what's happening in the country. Like, if you don't know, Drag Race season 19 auditions, deadline was just, recently. And they called and did a lot of big pushes for this season because the previous seasons hasn't had a lot of talent and had a lot of girls that are just being booked. And in a similar vein, you have to vet people and you have to really invest in people with creative lenses, outreach, connections, ideas. And I think the issue is people don't want to build partnerships.
I think it's harder to build partnerships when a lot of the stuff is transactional. It's very transactional. Things are very transactional, I feel like, in the city. And that's why I keep things very much in the middle of the line with a lot of people, because it's just, it never feels fully connected. It's just, I feel like there's a lot of, you can't have one thing without the other. So,
and I think there's a lot of shady things going on. And just to wrap up, put a little bow, so to speak, on our conversation about Shakers, I think what was disappointing was, and again, same thing, I have had many great times at Shakers. I've met a lot of people that I wanted to meet, so I have no never had a bad time, never had an issue. This is not anything like that. It's just, you know, you had a competition, MX Shakers, for 8 weeks where people had to spend a lot of money, invest, do a lot of drag with the promise of, you know, $1,000 and guaranteed bookings. And that, you know, was bringing people on a Wednesday night out to Shakers that otherwise would not be there. So to have girls compete and go through all this stuff and emotions and really spend money, spending their last and, you know, not getting this playthrough knowing you weren't going to be the open, I feel like it was disingenuous and it's disheartening. Again, more people not supporting our own community. I'm not sure why we're not supporting our own in this.
That's the first thing I thought about when I heard that they were closing. I was like, so what was that competition for? Because even if, let's say, the performer gets the money, I hope they are paying that performer. I hope they are paying that winner, because if they won...
Shout out to Shenandoah. Shout out to my sister, the winner.
Yes. A crown is not enough, darling. And so where was the investment? They invested in your bar, but you're not... And this is where a lot of these hospitality owners are leeches, because they are getting invested in as safe spaces and community spaces, but then they'll quickly not take care of their queens. But I hope I'm gonna believe that they're paying them, because that's how I would have never handled it like this, period. But I would have at least paid them. But let's say they pay her. The exposure and the platform is what that prize was as well. And that's the manipulation I can't get around, is knowing that that was never going to be part of the prize. And I think that was just, again, poor business, bad business. Because if you were going to make this, you should have been like, this is the series finale. Because you know what? We're closing. Just like they're probably going to get a lot of business for this next week because they're closing.
Yeah, they're closing this weekend by the time this episode releases, and that'll be their hurrah, and people are going to fake pretend to care. And
well, because that's another thing. A lot of people are like, oh my God, I'm like so sad.
You can't be sad if you didn't go support.
They would not be closing if y'all were going, and that's just the bottom line.
And that's just true for anything. Like, it can't be the best thing in the world if you don't go.
No, not at all. Not at all. Again, there's been so many bars that have closed, and I've not felt a loss. The two bars that have closed that I felt a true loss was with, well, oh my God, three, was Cobalt Town. And then, oh my God, the strip club. What was it called? Oh my God, Scorpios? No.
Secrets.
Those are the three bars that
Town
I mourned.
Town and Cobalt for sure. That
Town
definitely
was
a loss. Cobalt.
Will mourn that to this day. But other than that, like I said, I think that a lot of these bars are pop-up. We knew that this was going to happen. If I was a fortune teller, I would kind of guess what the next bar that's going to close is. Because until community and that diversification is met with prices and like expecting young people to come to your bar and having $13 cocktails, where's the business practice there?
Yeah, I think DC doesn't understand that. I definitely think DC struggles with that. And I get it, like, you're a city, but like, we're not like a real city. So like, it's not New York, y'all.
I would say we are an expensive city, however.
We are an expensive city, but like without the things. I feel like
a gay bar should not be charging $15 for a drink.
Right. Like, I really keep thinking, like, how would you do it as a child? Like, if I was a young gay, because you know, I went out to bars. The bars I went out to in North Carolina are still there. They're still talking about Legends. And I don't, you know, it was affordable. I wasn't breaking bank to go up in there. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I remember our old gay bar in Greensboro, you would pay the $10 cover, but then you would pay like $3 for a beer. $3, yeah. Y'all. $4 maybe.
I got fucked. And I put some of them bars.
I'm not saying bring that over here. I'm not saying bring over here. But you know who has, and that's the thing. You have to have a brand that be known for. When we moved here to DC, we had buy one, get one at number 9 regularly. And then to this day, you can still get free tequila, shitty tequila, or rail drinks at Green Lantern on Thursdays and Sundays. And people come. And that's the thing. You have to be known for something. You have to build a brand, and you have to show, hey, if you're coming out, I don't care if you have money or not, just come out. We want you to be here. That's why I operate the way I do with my brunches. We opened up for federal employees because it's a hard time out here. Come through. You don't need money. Come through. Have a good time with us. Let's literally just have fun together. But that, it's so, back to the word transactional, it's very that. So, I was about to ask a messy question, but I'm going to keep that to myself. I'm going to keep that for the after podcast.
Don't say no names. I think that was, it's just as wild as what's going on in the world. I got people arrested. You got bars closing, opening with the same name. You got Nicki Minaj defending Christians around the world. It's a lot. It's a lot.
It's very sad. I was very disappointed to see Nicki being a pro-Trumper. But, you know, I still believe in the artist's music, and I think that I will keep my regard for her in that sense. But I was very disappointed to see that behavior, because it's just behavior. That's behavior. Stop doing that.
Right. I'm glad disappointment is an individual emotion, a feeling.
But you disappoint me like that, too. I mean, you just admitted that you're MAGA today, so I think I have to recover for a second.
Apparently, I'm just a Republican one.
But there's so much going on, right? Like, what has the world come
What's
to?
Going on?
Let's talk about Wicked for just a hot second, because I'm sick and tired of y'all. I'm so fucking, I'm going to watch it, y'all. Before y'all, like, gun me down, I am watching Wicked this weekend. Like, tone it down. I have seen Wicked on my Lyft. Like, if you open your Lyft app right now on Wicked Weekend, you will see Ariana's silhouette and Cynthia's silhouette almost kissing. And I'm like, girl, enough. And then it's every commercial. It's on every bus. Like, everyone, there's so many drag performers already performing songs. And I'm over here like, okay, Nunu, we have a reggaeton brunch this weekend. Come see us tomorrow, November 22nd, over at El Rey. Super fun. Can't wait to see y'all. If you're listening to this podcast, just pull up, honestly. I would love to have you. But Nunu, it's Y2K. It's Y2K theme, so I'm going to be playing a lot of old school music. And then Nunu, you know, is struggling to figure out Y2K because she wasn't born yet. And she was like, oh, you know what I could do? What if I did Defying Gravity? Because, you know, the play came out in 2000. And I can do, like, the Mag Barbie and the other girl, what's her name? Idina Menzel's version. And I looked at her with crazy eyes because it's reggaeton brunch. And if you think that some people don't probably feel like me and they're like, girl, okay. Oh, Wicked's here too. We're having Wicked here too. Crazy. And also, a lot of these Latinos probably just know Wicked now, okay? They're gonna be like, who? What version is this? Where's Ariana? Let us be what?
Changed within me. Wicked is definitely a phenomenon. It's really cool to be a part of something that, you know, I feel like we haven't experienced since a Harry Potter, since a Twilight, you know, since
this
a real
was, no,
Hunger Games. You know what I mean? It gives that. It gives, like, we're fun and we're all dressing up. And
I mean, people have this Marvel. It's been Marvel. I mean, Marvel. I just think it's triggering now because it's so commercialized and consumerized that it's taking the art out of the film. It's taking the art out of the play. Like, girl, calm the fuck down. It's so tacky at this point because you know people are going to watch it. Like, you know people are going to watch it. It's tacky. To me, it's tacky.
I think it's fun to celebrate a space for queer people, safe spaces.
Are you going to dress like that? Know. Are you going to go like that to the show? Let's
see it in 24 hours.
Oh, my God. Actually, you would eat if you went like that, honestly. They'll be like, oh, my God. Like, you look like Glenda.
Oh, my God.
You've played this role. How does it feel to, like, see yourself in Ariana Grande?
It's good Correct. To see me, isn't it? No, I love Wicked. I think this phenomenon is going to be fun because of what Cynthia and Ariana brought to it. They brought this sapphic energy, this weird interview energy, something that's interesting, engaging. You always want to see what they're going to do. And it's just more about what it means. And I don't even care what happens. I just want it to happen. And I think it's going to be sad when it's over because you're going to want more of this kind of, you know, genuine connection.
You said they were going to go into the Wizard of Oz and then we're going to keep building. Again, they're going to keep building this. And I'm just like, I could just see the dollar signs and I could just see how, like, it's just a little tacky to me.
Well, Ariana will be moving on to other acting projects, of course. As you all know, she'll be starring in the upcoming American Horror Story season.
Is she still going to tour? Y'all were excited to go see this tour, waiting on the Q&A.
She'll also be doing a limited tour in 2026. It's a major
season. Where does she have the stamina? Do you think she can run a mile? And that's no shade.
If she performed, you know, side to side on the exercise bike at VMAs, I think she could run.
Out of breath. She could run. It was no shade. It was no shade. No shade, y'all. I'm excited for Wicked. I'll see it this weekend. I'll tune back in. I already saw people hating on it, though. They were like, oh, my God, did I cry? No. And I was like, okay, doesn't matter. I didn't cry in the last one. I did cry. No shade.
I
bawled when I saw her fall down that window. I was crying for sure. Because you don't relate to Elphaba, but I'm definitely an Elphaba.
Yeah, it's so weird. I realize that a lot of my people in my life are a lot of Elphabas. Elphabas. Like, I don't know anyone who's, like, not an Elphaba. Like, I'm definitely a Glinda because, duh, but, like,
yeah,
a lot of Elphabas. Y'all are basic.
First of all, now you're judging us.
I just think it's very, like, ooh, look at me, I have emotions, emo, Daria, ooh. Wah, 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 wah. That's what it gives to me.
Oh, my God. Look at you knowing references. Okay. Speaking of Y2K, come see us this weekend at El Rey. Oh, my God. This episode was so needed, right? Like, we had a wild past month. Things are only getting bleaker and bleaker.
that during this retrograde season, it is affecting all of us so different. You know, the signs that it's affecting the most, you know, Aquarius, Leo, Taurus, it really leaves a sense of like hopelessness and loss. But what's happening is that it's really preparing you all to let go of these feelings and attachments so that when you go into 2026, you'll be able to explore without that. And for others like myself, it's just a time of reflection. And I think allowing yourself to have that space to feel is just equally important through this holiday season. Whether you're spending it with loved ones, your besties, your chosen family, I think creating a safe space is really important. Let your feelings and let it go. And speaking of let it go, you can see me on December 6th and 7th at Shaw's Tavern. You can see me at Defrosted, our amazing parody of an icy animated movie. You can see us at Shaw's Tavern on December 6th and 7th, where I'll be playing the lead role of Elsa. I'm so excited to see everyone. Get your tickets now at defrosted.highball.com.
First of all, Nunu is so good live, y'all. Y'all need to come see Nunu. If you have not seen Nunu yet, that's insane.
always click our link in bio, linktree.com/wait don't do it, for all the reggaeton brunch events, as well as our episodes on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, wherever you're listening. We love you. Be safe out there. Protect each other. See something, say something. Keep hope alive.
And if you're listening to us on iTunes, please leave us a rating. Leave us a 5-star rating. We will love that. We're at a 4.1 or something. Very proud of us for that. But come get us a 4.5, please. So give us a 5-star. And thank y'all for coming back after these 2 weeks. Just know that it's a crazy time of our lives. But we are always going to come back because you have changed my life for good.
Well, see y'all. We'll be right back. for listening to the episode. Make sure to follow at Wait Raffy and at Nunu Paris for all updates, especially about Reggaeton Brunch and when you're going to party with us. We'll see you there. Mwah.